I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy.
She has been excused.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
He has been excused.
Councilmember Mulvihill.
Here.
Councilmember De Leon.
Here.
Councilmember O'Donnell.
Here.
Councilmember Page.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mayor.
Thank you. So I would accept a motion to accept the agenda.
I make a motion to accept the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is a proclamation for Mental Health Awareness Month, and I included that in the package. I just wanted you to know that sometimes we have, almost every month, we have some kind of a proclamation. There's something going on almost every month. I would accept a motion for the consent agenda.
I make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So the next item on the agenda is public comments. Those persons wishing to address council, please state your name and city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to address council? Kristen.
Yes, thank you. Hi, my name is Kristen Bryant and I live in Bellevue. I grew up in Black Diamond and I wanted to provide the council with some more information about the housing action plan that you discussed last week. The housing action plan came about because in 2019, there was a legislative bill at the state level that was drafted and lobbied for by realtors, a business organization, not citizen groups or nonprofits. This one of the things the legislature did with this bill, HB 1923 in 2019, was set aside grant money for cities to create affordable housing plans. Initially, the grants were only open to larger cities, but not enough large cities where there were plentiful jobs, but not but there was a housing shortage. Not enough of those cities wanted the grant. So the eligibility was expanded to a second round, and still there were not enough cities that wanted the grant. And so at that point it was open to all cities in a third round of grant funding, and every city that applied was given that state grant. Whether or not Black Diamond should seek this grant was never discussed by the city council. But what happened instead was Blue Line Consulting came to the city, wrote the grant proposal in February of 2020, and the community development director signed it and sent it in. The Department of Commerce wanted cities to do an RFQ before spending the money. So Black Diamond did an RFQ and then awarded the contract to guess who? Blue Line Consulting. Blue Line Consulting doesn't just do planning. A major portion of their business is to provide services for land development. The whole thing smells bad. The report they produced was preordained to be a justification of an upzone of a lot more property in Black Diamond for dense development to profit certain couple of land developers. As part of their work, Blue Line authored a survey that asked questions like, what kind of housing should Black Diamond add? And then they put in the report that a lot of people answered, checked some boxes there to make it look like people wanted more housing. Well, 10 Trails is bringing plenty of housing. The Housing Action Plan document then attempts to absolve 10 Trails of their affordable housing commitments. It also provides no practical information about how to deal with the fact that Black Diamond's county growth targets are being massively exceeded, or how to fund the proposed developer discounts that the report recommended. It's really just an excuse to justify rezones to add significantly more housing and commercial density. And what rezone am I referring to? That would be the potential rezoning that showed up in the 2019 Comprehensive Plan Future Land Use Map without analysis. Instead of listening to the public in October 2019 over the struggle to manage that much growth, the city was working on a grant to rationalize more development in the name of affordable housing. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. We have no public hearings, unfinished business, a resolution amending council rules of procedures to include a social media policy. Mr. Linehan.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, council. Before you dive in, your first item of unfinished business is the city council's social media policy. This is, the third or fourth time we've had this back in front of you after a few rounds of revisions and refinements. I'm hoping this latest round captured all of the feedback and suggestions from the last meeting, where it seemed like we reached, there's pretty good consensus among council about which of the rules needed to be further tweaked and revised. So this version that's in your packet today, I'm happy to answer any questions about it, but I'm hoping that it captured most or all of the changes that were suggested previously.
I have no questions, Mr. Linehan. I just want to say thank you for all the time you put into it and for everything that you've listened to from all of us. So thank you.
You're very welcome. It's my job.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Yeah, no, I would just echo Councilmember Page about that. It's well done. I think it meets everybody's expectations if they choose to have a Facebook social media. I have no concerns with the rewriting that you did. And if there is no more conversation, I make a motion to adopt resolution number 21-1419, amending the city council rules of procedure to include a social media policy.
I second that.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So the next item on the agenda is resolution authorizing a pass-through King County Metro sewer rate increase. Ms. Miller.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. In your packet tonight, you have before you a resolution 21-1422 to increase the pass-through King County sewer rate increase by $2.04 a month per equivalent residential unit, and that would go into effect June 1st. That actually increases rates that are collected by the city and remitted to King County for their metro from $45.33 a month to $47.37 a month. And they're proposing that that rate would be in place for this year and through next year. We discussed this at a finance committee and decided it was probably a good idea to put a flyer out in this month's utility bills. So it will go out in the May utility bills this week. And it would tell citizens of this pass-through rate increase, and the increase would not take effect until June 1st. That way we have citizens time to adjust, and they would get that at the end of June, and it would not be due until in their payment in July for their bills. King County collects Metro from the rates, same rates for all of us, to all their customers in this area. And that covers their cost of taking the sewer from the city of Black Diamond Edge, collect it, transmit it to their treatment process site. And it's not a huge rate increase, but we did want to bring it forward to you and pass that through to our citizens. We had thought that Metro did not increase their rates, but just found out recently they had increased their rates by $2.04. So with this, I recommend approval of this ordinance. We did take it to the Finance Committee at their last meeting on May 13th, and they recommended forwarding this to the full council. Are there any questions?
Councilmember Oglesby.
Thank you, Mayor. So, Ms. May, is this something that happens often? Is it something that we look forward to in the year's future that it increases on a regular basis that our residents need to know of?
That's a great question. Metro usually does their rate increase every 2 years, and they forecast out what they think the increase will be for the next 2 years and 2 years after that. So they do about a 6-year forecast, and then they look at it on that second year to say, is that too high, too low, and sometimes adjust a slightly. But we do have, we do know what years they plan to do that and about how much they expect the rate increase to be. And with that, we try to look at our own King County rate that covers for our staff to maintenance the sewer lines inside of Black Diamond and do that on the opposite year. So I would expect this year, we'll probably need to go ahead with our own city rate increase that we deferred last year due to COVID.
Okay, well, I guess if there's no other more conversation, I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 21-1422 to increase the pass-through of the KC Metro sewer rate by $2.04 per month per ERU effective June 1st of 2021.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Council.
Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is an ordinance regarding acceptance of the skate park donations. When we took the skate park apart because of the safety reasons, we had a lot of people complaining about the skate park. And then since that time, even though I don't do Facebook, I get reports on Facebook postings. And there's been a lot of activity of people wanting us to rebuild the skate park. And then I had a couple of people approach me asking if they could participate in helping rebuild the skate park. So I went to Mr. Linehan and asked him if there was a way to do that. I was thinking about a GoFundMe account. And he said, no, this is better because we get all the money and the money doesn't go to help GoFundMe. So I have several people that have committed to it and a lot more people interested. So I figured if we could get some donations. We also have some parks money that we could use for this that hasn't been spent, even though we're doing the PROS plan. So we don't want to spend all that money, but we could participate a little bit through funds that we have and parks funds. But it would be really nice if the community could step up and help us with this project, because it would make a lot of kids happy and we could have the skate park done before the end of the year. Lee, did you have your hand up?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Mayor. I think this is such a wonderful idea. You know, having these special projects can be kind of expensive for a city that, you know, on such tight budget. And I think to be able to open it up for donations is wonderful. And I think it'll bring in the whole community spirit that they can get behind us and celebrate with. So, given that, I'd like to make the motion to approve ordinance number 211160, authorizing the acceptance of donations for the design and construction of a skate park, establishing a skate park donation fund, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date.
Mr. O'Donnell, Councilmember O'Donnell.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a quick, I would like to second this, but I'd also like to just comment first. I 100% agree. I love the grassroots approach. It's about community and we come together and we solve a problem. And it's not just throwing public
funds at it, but it's really everybody getting together. That's what we're all about. That's what the community is all about, right? So I'm 100% supportive of it. I do think, I know we do have some extra funds on the from the demolition of the park. I know that there was some money set aside for that, for the demolishing the skate park. And so since we underran that, I'm hoping that the balance of that can be contributed to this. And then if we can scrape up some more dollars, that would be wonderful. And maybe we should be looking at some grants too. But my fear is that we take too long and we let another nice summer go by and the kids don't have something to do. So I endorse passing this tonight and collecting all of the dollars we can. But also I know that we've got some discretionary funds available, you know, within the city so that we can really truly move this forward and provide something great. I would like to make sure that, you know, what is our baseline idea, and are we going to simply replace in kind what was already there, but just the newer version so it meets all code and it will have a lifespan of a certain number of years? It would be good to know what that is and if we have some sort of a purpose and mission of how we're doing that. Who is overseeing this? If it, is it Public Works? I would suggest that it would be nice to have an ad hoc committee that also includes some of the people that have spearheaded the donations so that they're part of the, you know, they go to all the trouble of getting all the dollars, that they're part of the solution and the final design and getting input. I'm sure the people that are wanting to donate also probably have children that will be using this too. So I would really like to be able to make it truly a grassroots, keep everybody engaged in this. And you know, it's kind of like a barn raising type of thing, right? So I think that that would be great. I'd also like to make sure what is our target? What's the dollar value we're looking for? I know we need to do a quick design. Maybe that's going to be $30,000 to $50,000, and then or if it's an in-kind where, I mean, it's just a purchase it off the shelf type of thing. The other thought is one of Tahoma School District just completed one of these, right? So I'd like to know who they used and if they had success with it, what was their budget, what was the pitfalls, lessons learned, things that went well, things that didn't go well, and so we don't have to reinvent, you know, from scratch. I think that turned out nice. Of course, we want ours to be just a little bit nicer than that, of course, right? So I think we should look at that. I'd really recommend that we have an ad hoc committee consisting of maybe a couple council members and the Public Works and or Parks and people that would be interested from the community to be a part of that. So it truly is an all engaging thing. But time is of the essence, and we don't super analyze this and over design and redesign and go through a whole bunch of versions of this. Let's kick it loose as quickly as we can. Those are my comments, but I'd like to also at the appropriate time second the motion.
Thank you. There has been two consultants that we have been working with. Mona and Seth have been working with two consultants. One of them has done almost all of the skate parks in the state of Washington. One of them has only done one skate park in the state of Washington. They are cement structures. And so we've got estimates based on what their square footage is, anywhere between $300,000 and $600,000. And so right now we're planning on just replacing the skate park where it was with new, more modern structures. And I think that Seth and Mona working with these two contractors probably can do this. I think it would be faster than having some kind of an ad hoc committee, that they are already working on it and talking to these contractors and trying to internally with these contractors come up with a design. And then we can find out then we can go out for bid and find out what the price is going to be at the end. And we want to get that bid out as soon as possible. So that's the plan internally right now, is to get this going, get a design, and go out for bid, because we have to do that. And so everybody internally is kind of, this is a project that everybody wants to get done for the public and is really excited about it. Councilmember Oglesby, did you have a?
No, you answered my question. It was more about the financial, how much it would cost, but yeah, thank you.
So we have a motion and a second on the, Councilmember Page.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to concur with what everyone else has said and then add to that from a previous conversation, just reassuring the community listening, from when Seth and I met, and I think I said this here last month, you know, this can be done in phases. So I don't want our residents and neighbors to think that, again, to your point, Mayor Benson, that this is going to take a long time, that there is a sense of urgency to this, and we do have some of the best skateboard park designers in the world right here in our backyard. And so when Seth and I were talking, he was saying he really felt it could be done in phases. Phase one on the footprint. So this is for all the residents on the footprint of the original skate park, something that will continue on. And then anything above and beyond that can be rolled into the rest of the parks plan. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who has already stepped up behind the scenes. I'm excited to see the community come together. And thank you, Mayor Benson, for what you've done. I appreciate it.
So is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. So it's now time for department reports. Chief Smith, did you have a report?
Yes, I do. Am I there?
Yeah, you're there.
Oh, okay. I'm here. So anyway, thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. Beautiful night out tonight, especially where you're at there, Mayor. Watch out for birds. So did everyone get my report?
I did.
Okay, I'm guessing everybody did then. So basically it's been fairly slow in the town of Black Diamond, but you know, having said that, you did have, during this report 14-day period, you had 14 incidents in town. 77% of those are EMS, and four of those times we had to actually respond with medics. So I always say, you know, it's been slow, but I can guarantee you for each one of those 10 people in town that had that medical emergency, it was not a slow week. So, but you know, you didn't have any really big urgent calls. You had one fatality in the city. Someone passed away in a hot tub. But other than that, been pretty slow. Now we did have two incidents up on the gorge this last week, and that's about 3 miles east out of town, up there around Franklin. So, you know, if you've been around here for a while, you know that every year this time of the year we lose two or three people up there every single year, and that's just on a small section of the Green River. We also have people that climb down from the Coomer Bridge and people from Flaming Geyser Park. And so it's a very dangerous area to recreate. And we ask people that are around the river, please, you know, stay away from the river edge, stay away from those large slippery rocks. People fall off them every year and it's the last thing they ever do. So I don't know how we get that message out to everybody, but it's a hard thing to do, right? And I think we're working on some of that. Actually, I think there'll be a meeting coming up here in a week or so to look at maybe putting some signage or something up there. So anyway, your station 98 engine actually responded to 20 incidents during this reporting period. So half of those were in town. A couple of those were into Puget Sound Fire. A couple of those were into Mountain View and at least once into the city of Enumclaw. And so if you look at that and measure that, a 92 engine was in the city four times. Puget Sound Fire was in the city twice, and Enumclaw didn't come into town. So we treat this area like there are no borders, and that gives the best safety we can to all of it. Whoever's the nearest fire engine goes, regardless of where it's from. So it's a great deal. And King County, we're lucky to live in King County, really, especially with our emergency medical program. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. Let's see, no fires in town. Now, your fire engine should probably be delivered to our Station 95 garage sometime late in June. I think I sent you a report on that, and it sounds like it'll probably be in town sometime around the 28th. We'll arrive at the dealership in Tacoma, and it'll spend 2 or 3 weeks in there being upfitted. and then we'll bring it to our shop. It'll be upfitted there with radios, and our two mechanics will go top to bottom, front to back, starboard to bow. They will go over that entire fire engine to make sure everything is copacetic and working and put together the way it's supposed to be. They will, they said they average about 100 miles. They drive it for about 100 miles when, you know, just to take it out and test drive it, probably drive it to North Bend and back. And so they'll go through it, and then we will upfit it again with equipment, get the radios put in, and our firefighters will learn how to operate that piece of equipment. So it's kind of like putting a ship, you know, comes out of the shipyard, and still you still have to send it out for sea trials for a while, right, before you get it. So it's kind of like that with a fire engine. I'm surprised to hear skate park costs almost as much as a fire engine. So, you know, you do have, you will have a surplus fire engine that will be returned to you as soon as your new one comes in. So we could put that out in the park out there and the kids could play on it. But anyway, that's all I have, unless someone has a question.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Thanks, Chief Smith. So, I mean, talking about the river safety, and I mean, it's just a tragic. I mean, and people that are not river folks or outside the cities and coming into our river areas, I mean, unless you didn't live around here and know the rivers and how high and how dangerous they are, it's really sad to see our, you know, people dying in our rivers. So my thought is, I mean, that's private property up there, correct?
Yes.
So I'm just trying to think, you know, how we talk to the private property owners about fencing, signing, you know, I know we talk about GoFundMe and, you know, that kind of stuff to help them out. What can we do to, you know, can we say no river? Can we block that off and say can't?
You know, that's the resort up there. I haven't used it as a resort. Probably the last time I used that as a resort was probably 40 years ago, right? So I haven't gone down those stairs. My understanding is that there's a set of stairs that go down to the river and people pay like $5 to go down there. And that's what I've heard, you know.
You think you're paying $5, you'd pay a lot more for like a life vest.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, and you're right. It's people from out of town typically that we end up, well, you know, to tell you the truth, you know, one of your ex-council members died in the river, right? And so rivers are very dangerous things, and they're very unforgiving, especially this time of the year. So I don't think you're ever going to stop that from happening, but I think we could put some signage up and, you know, try to do some things like that and educate people. But that's about the best we can do. Now we have, you know, remember, I don't know if you recall, we lost one of our volunteers in a drowning accident, and a couple, some of the firefighters have been putting up kiosks at some of the lakes and where you can just grab a free life preserver and put it on. So, but, you know,
it feels like, you know, with signage, you know, putting up stats, you know, people, how many people die a year to the river? I mean, let people educate them. I mean, I know that's a popular area for youth, yeah. For summertime. Oh,
I envision a chalkboard up there, as terrible as that seems, you know, is that we could almost put a chalkboard, you know, how many injuries had this year, and you go up there and wipe it off and put another one up, because it's three or four people a year on average, just in that spot. And you know, we rescue the lower section down here. We probably rescue 12 or 13 people in the summertime. But they're, you know, it's easy stuff. They're stuck on the side of the river at 9 o'clock at night and they don't know where they are and things like that. But we have some deaths down here on the river too. So water's dangerous.
Thank you.
That's all I have, Mayor. Thank you.
So it's time for the mayor's report. We had a strong mayor's meeting last week talking about reopening, and it's kind of all over the board how people were going to reopen, except most of them are going to be appointment only, continue to wear masks. So even though the CDC came out with their ruling, King County is really unhappy with that. So the meeting that we had with King County Health Department, Patty Hayes this week, they were going to put out a statement this week. I haven't seen it yet. Just stating that they want everybody to continue wearing masks when you're inside. And people are working on their projects. We had the South County Area Transportation Board meeting on Tuesday, and we had a Maple Valley Black Diamond Chamber actually in person in the Legacy site, which is where the Maple Valley Farmers Market is. And it was extremely cold and really fun though, because there was a lot of new members. And so it was basically just going around and introducing yourself to everybody and handing out our new visitor's guide that has Maple Valley and Black Diamond in it. And so we have plenty at the office. If you want to drop by any of the buildings, they all have a stack of them. You want to take one home or give them to your friends. So I have a whole box of them. So we want to make sure that they get distributed so that people know what the events are going to be. When it was put to press, we didn't know that we were going to have Miners Day, so it's not in there. But it does have all the new council members. She hadn't gone to press yet when she found out about the new council members. So Brenda sent her pictures and they actually got in there. So everybody is all the council member. And I thought we were going to miss the two newest ones, but we lucked out. They hadn't gone to press yet. And so Erica asked if we could send her pictures and we did. So there, at least everybody's in the book. And then today, Brenda and I attended a AWC MRSC conference about post-pandemic, and it's kind of the same thing. There were four different entities that were part of the panel that were talking about reopening, but they had a couple of little checklists like, when are you going to open, and are you going to wear masks? Are you going to have a post-pandemic policy for working from home? And Brenda and I have been working on it in the last couple of weeks to get that done. And so we will have it done before our planned opening of July 6th, but we're still planning on having by appointment only and having some kind of a questionnaire for people that are going to come into the office. But because we know there are people that work for the city that aren't getting vaccinated, we don't want to have any spread inside the city. We haven't had a problem. So we want to make sure that everybody is safe. So we're going to start by appointment only and have some people work from home and still rotating schedule. So that's the end of my report. It's time for council report. So Council Member De Leon.
Thank you, Mayor. And I wanted to actually start by also mentioning some of the things that are going to be great opportunities to get involved with the city. I wanted to start first just by saying I've attended my council or my committee meetings, community development and parks today, as well as finance earlier. So we did have those conversations about some of the items that were addressed today, as well as things that will be talked about in the near future. I wanted to make sure that also just to remind people that there's still plenty of time to turn in the PROS Parks plan. That's due on the 28th. One can drop it off either at a Dropbox / at mail, if you wanted to do it that way, or you can scan it and send it in to Mona Davis directly through her email. Either way works, but it's a really fantastic opportunity to make sure that, especially with all the conversations we've had about things like the skate park, as well as the future of the kind of green spaces that we have in the city, that there's a really good opportunity to just weigh in on that, other places to write in, ideas for activities. So these are things that the city staff look at and are going to be incorporated into those decisions. So that is something, and that's going to be the bulk of my council report that I've been also pushing on places like my council member social media side, because I do want to make sure that residents know about this, because there is so much community chatter about our parks. And it's so important that people do know about what's going on for that resource as well. Similarly to that, I did engage more on the social media side as well, more on the parts about the future of the roundabout and about some of those other hot button issues in the city, like our transportation, because I do know that that is an ongoing source of concern, as well as of places where I think we can do even more to make sure that the information that we do know and we do have is coming across. So I do know that one part of it, there was a lot of hesitance or concern about the role of the state Department of Transportation in there. So that is where I'm hoping that going forward, we can especially incorporate what the Department of Transportation had to say about the roundabout on Highway 169 and about some of those ongoing concerns about how we turn, you know, left or right with the Ravensdale Black Diamond Road. So the more that I think it's nice to engage with the residents on, but the more that that happens, the more we can really fine tune and understand better where the real concerns are at this project. So I've been fielding a lot of questions about that. I'm more than happy to do it. That's what I love to do, is being able to actually, you know, talk with residents about those concerns and hopefully also be able to clarify as I can or come up with new ideas. So I also am just very grateful for the help I've gotten with that, and especially from the staff members who really do know this material and can really answer those questions. So that was a big thing. I'm still kind of working on that, but I am, again, I'm glad to do it. And I'm looking forward to also those opportunities when the city does have more of that social media presence and that, you know, stronger website presence soon, because I'm happy to, but of course, this is definitely the city's, and I'm not the one who's making all the decisions for it. So that's, I guess, where that is. I am hoping in the near future to host another one of those Zoom meet and greets when I do have a date for that. I will put that out also on my city social media. So just for those listening, that is something I'm hoping to do, because as long as people are interested in attending and have those questions and ideas, I'll keep doing it. So I really appreciate that community engagement. Otherwise, I've been promoting a lot of what also our Chief Smith was talking about too, with water safety. I can't accentuate enough that this is one of those really pressing matters that comes about every year. And Mountain View Fire has put out a lot of good material on their social media pages about water safety. And that's, I believe, this upcoming week, if it isn't already, it is also Water Safety, you know, week. So there's a lot of good materials out there for us to share with both in our, you know, our city capacities as well as in our personal lives, to make sure that those reminders are constantly being amplified, because even one loss is too many. So if, especially because at the end of the day, there's so much we can do to make sure it's preventable. So now that was part of it also. There's also gonna be a cleanup, I believe, coming up, or there's gonna be a recycling event coming up on Saturday, also in partnership with the City of Maple Valley. So that's going to be another good opportunity as well. And of course, just to accentuate a little bit on the mayor's report as well, if you haven't already done so, please find an opportunity to find a vaccine. There are so many right now, and especially south end of the county, there's a lot of appointments that are going unfilled. And at least last I heard from places like in King County, I think the goal is that we get to at least 70% immunized. And they're safe. I'm fully vaccinated. I'm very happy and grateful that I had that opportunity. And it was a bit of a doozy the day after, but that was kind of what I heard was to be expected. So after that, you know, it was okay. And I'm just really glad that I can do my part on that, and that when I'm out seeing people, that I don't have to worry about what I might have inadvertently done unbeknownst to me for people I care about and for people I may have just been passing by. So definitely, you know, the science has shown that these are incredibly safe. Just lay low the next day and you're good to go, you know? So I'm not a medical professional. You can certainly ask your medical professional, but long story short, there are so many clinics and so many opportunities. So this is where we can really make sure that when we do get to go back and patronize all these places in person and go to all these events, as I'm looking forward to doing this summer in the city, that we can do that. So last but not least, otherwise, I know I did send out a message also to the mayor, just asking for more information too on a potential opportunity for our city also partaking in and officially recognizing Juneteenth as a legal holiday, because that is something, in addition to the fact that it has also been passed into law, it's an amazing opportunity for us to just recognize, in along with all the proclamations we've had, including on things like Black History Month, to be contemplative and to recognize, you know, our own history in what Juneteenth means to us and that ongoing legacy. You know, I'm only one council member here, but those holidays are certainly meant for us to recognize our past and where the need for that holiday still exists. So I'm hoping that even longer, or even earlier, I should say, than 2022, perhaps we can still recognize it. But I did appreciate also the correspondence I got from city staff on that, including Brenda. So thank you for also giving me that information too earlier. So that is, I think, how I will end my council report. And otherwise, I wish everyone a good evening.
Councilmember O'Donnell.
Councilmember De Leon, you said you didn't have much to say. Holy smokes. I really don't have much to say. It really will be short, so I'll show you. I usually have a lot to say, but tonight I really don't, other than, you know, I am concerned. I saw on Facebook the, you know, the cold water, you know, the fatality there and all that. So, of course, my heart goes out to the family, and we don't want to see that. And I know that this conversation comes up every single year. And I know that the chief sees it firsthand, right? All the time. So if there's anything we can do more than just getting some message out there, you know, what can we do? You know, it would be great if we could really put our heads together and figure out how do we make sure there's no more fatalities, period. Wouldn't that be nice? It's such a shame. There's a couple things. I did reach out to my contacts at WashDOT about the roundabouts and some of the timing, and particularly the intersection at 288 and 169, and that interceptor lane and the timing of that, and trying to get an understanding of that. And so more to come, but it's been good conversations with them. And of course, I won't go around our public works folks and our staff that, I'm talking just to my sources from what I do for a living to find out, you know, is a reality check on that. You know, I know that they're, you know, saying that there's no traffic lights that they want on Highway 169 in any time in the future. Is that real or is that not real? So that's largely what I worked on. I do want to say to the mayor, thank you for your leadership on the skate park. I think it's nice when an issue comes up and we can say we addressed it, that we're listening. And I think that's important for people to know. If they speak up, they're going to get our attention. And there's a good chance we may actually act on it too. And so to the mayor, thank you for your leadership on that. My company will donate $1,000 towards that. I know it's not a lot, you know, if we need 200 or 300, but we'll do whatever we can to help out. And I think if everybody pitches in, I love the fact that it's just a grassroots approach. And I encourage everybody to, you know, let's throw our, put our money where our mouth is, and let's make something happen for these kids. So with that, thank you. Have a good night, everybody.
Councilmember Page.
Thank you, Mayor. I just, again, like previous stated, I attended my committee meetings, update to the crosswalk flag idea that I floated around with the Public Safety Committee, and Councilmember Oglesby was able to share some of that last time, which I so appreciate, because I get caught up in the moment and I was like, oh, I just want to get started. And so thank you for that. I have done my walkabout Black Diamond and have identified crosswalks of opportunity, as I'm calling them. So if you live in a neighborhood or if you're not familiar with what we're speaking of here, feel free to send me an email. I'm happy to talk to you about it. And at the next public safety committee, I plan to present sort of these crosswalks and then to take it to the next step and what it would look like. In addition to that, I know, as we stated last time, you know, Black Diamond is very unique in the way that it is surrounded and bordered by King County property on one side of one road. And then we have a state highway in the middle of our city. And Councilmember Mulvihill and I had an opportunity to meet with King County Councilmember Reagan Dunn. His office reached out to us to get to know us as new council members. And there were a few things that Councilmember Mulvihill and I brought up. And one of them was this crosswalk flag program. And that if there are places and identified a couple where it crosses over to King County property, would he be willing to entertain conversation and meet us with a solution for that and work instead of just saying, nope, it can't be done. And he was very open to that. So I look forward to continuing that conversation. And then that takes me to when Councilmember Mulvihill and I were meeting with him, we brought up on behalf of the city, the continued but long forgotten conversation about the annexation of Station 98 into the city of Black Diamond. And so, you know, there's a lot more that needs to happen there, but the good news is that Council Member Dunn is very open to it. He sees it as a public safety issue, and there's now a meeting on the books with Mayor Benson, Council Member Mulvihill, Council Member Oglesby, Chief Smith, so public safety committee, and then various other fire officials, I'm sure, as well as King County representatives to take a look at what it would actually take to bring that in. And so we'll keep that you posted on that. I'll let Council Member Mulvihill or Oglesby update the next time on that. I was able to attend the chamber luncheon. It was outdoors. We met in person for the first time in 15 months. It was freezing, but it was so good to see people in person. And so I want to say thank you to Mayor Benson and to Brenda. Both Councilmember Mulvihill and I were shocked to see our pictures in the new visitor guide. I was like, wait a minute, that's amazing. I thought that thing would have gone to print long before that. So thank you for your hard work to make that happen. I'm also reading through the comp plan, just for anyone who's interested. If you'd like to join along, Councilmember Mulvihill invited me to be your accountability partner to go through that. So we're reading buddies a couple hours every night, going through it and having conversation. And I just want to say thank you, Councilmember Mulvihill, for inviting me to do that and bringing that perspective from your long history with the city is really helpful to bring this new person up to speed. I was just at the planning and community development meeting. We had a really great conversation about code enforcement. Who would have thought? but really looking at ways that our city and our neighbors as a community might be able to help some of our neighbors who perhaps receive a code violation, but due to personal situation or circumstance aren't able to bring their property up to code. And so Councilmember De Leon and I are moving forward in exploring options from vouchers potentially from King County so that people can get free drop-offs at a transfer station if they need to remove some waste, all the way to putting together kind of an on-call community active group where, you know, if we need to go and, you know, trim some lawns and pull some weeds to bring people up or to help them move some clutter because they can't. So more to follow on that. If you're somebody who is able and interested and wants to give back or is part of an organization or church or civic group, feel free to reach out to either Councilmember De Leon or myself. And we'd love to have a conversation with you about that. I wanna clarify, and I think this might be a question for Mr. Linehan. In our packet, we had the skate park donation form. So is that skate park donation form active as of this moment? And if I say as a independent business owner, individual, and Councilmember O'Donnell's business wanted to make a donation, would we use that form and what do we do with it?
Yeah, so great question. Technically, because it was an ordinance that was adopted creating the fund, it won't be effective until 5 days after it gets published. So you'll have to check with Brenda to see what the official publication date will be. And then 5 days after that is when it's truly effective. But yes, I think you would just coordinate probably with Mae Miller on getting the donation form signed and the check written or what, however the payment method would be, because she'll be the one, be her department, the finance department, that's in charge of maintaining that separate fund account for that purpose.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lanahan. So what I would say then to our neighbors and residents listening, for any of you who are interested in that form, reach out to any of us council members. And once we know that form is active and live, we will be sure to share it with you, making it easier in case finding it on the website is not so convenient. So that's my report. Thank you all so much, and I appreciate you.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Thank you, Mayor. As everybody else has announced, I attended all my meetings, which I only have one a month anyway with the safety committee, but I did attend a public hearing last week as well. So my question to you, Mayor, on the visitor guide from the chamber, is that something we can get into our local businesses? So those...
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do they need to be given, do you need help delivering those to the local businesses, or the businesses reach out to you, or is there someone going to go out and deliver those to them?
Well, I'd be open to if somebody wants to deliver them to them.
Yeah, I'd be happy. I can work out some time with you to reach out to some businesses and drop those off, because I think it's important to the residents to see those, because how are they supposed to see them if they're just at the city and we're only accepting appointments only? I mean, they got to get out to the community.
Yep.
Excellent. I also attend. Two meetings a month in Enumclaw as a business owner as well. And we discuss lots of activities that are happening within our communities and joint communities as well. One of them, as I spoke to last council meeting, was the Vietnam Wall that's coming August 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th to Enumclaw, which should bring, can't even tell you the amount of people that it will bring to our communities. Coming through Black Diamond, coming through Auburn, coming through Bonnie Lake, all coming into Enumclaw to see this wall, which is going to be just a moment in time. It gives me goosebumps that they are actually going to have that in Enumclaw. So to that, I will talk in our safety community, how we can help our community traffic flow, where we can help with like bus transportations, parking. I know we don't have too much in parking, but my goal is to work with maybe 10 trails in our safety committee and how we can keep that flow during that time. And the amount of people coming in, visiting our businesses, our shops, our restaurants, and things like that, it's going to be amazing for revenue in our surrounding communities. So just want to remind people that is coming up, and it'll be an amazing thing to attend. I really look forward to seeing that. Other than that, that is my... That's it.
Councilmember Mulvihill.
Oh, hi. Thank you, Mayor. I'm all a flutter here. I've been so busy. I hope I don't forget anything here. The first thing I'd like to report on is in the public safety committee that I attended, we talked about a bicycle rodeo, and I got a hold of Principal Tim at the elementary, and he got a hold of the superintendent, and the superintendent is all a go. So I talked with the principal yesterday, and we have decided on the week of June 15th, 16th, and 17th. It will be more than one day because of the age groups of the kids. So there'll be a session for the littler kids and then another session for the bigger kids. And the principal is concerned about them all bringing bikes to school because there just isn't a place for it and for, you know, all those bikes. And so we're gonna, the chief, Jamie, has suggested that Chief Smith and Austin officer, Austin and us get together with the principal and sit down and really work out the details of what needs to be done and how we want this to look. I've found some good guidelines online and forwarded them on to those people. So when we do meet, we can just jump on it and start going with it. Debbie and I met with representative council member Reagan Dunn, and he understands. We just express our concern over over the non-functioning of Station 98 being technically a part-time station. And he understands our concern and has you know, heard from other council people in the past. And so he reached out right after our meeting to the powers that be, and we hope to, and we have set a date for the end of June to go visit the station and discuss what needs to be done. And hopefully we can get forward on this. Next year's is the time that they use to update their comprehensive plan. So this all seems to just fall into place at the right time. Mayor, I was very impressed that Debbie and I's picture were in the chamber directory. We're just like, whoa, wow, this is so cool. How did they do that? It's magic. It blew my mind. So thank you for getting that done. That was awesome. I saw your update, Councilmember DeLeon, about the roundabout on Facebook. That's such great communication skills you have. And I just wanted to comment on that I think more and more people are going to be starting to pay attention to the information that we can disseminate from the city. What else? Oh, yes. Seth wanted me to make sure everybody understands how important the recycling event is up at the in Maple Valley, up at the Tahoma High School. It's going to be May 22nd from 9 to 3. It'll be held in the student parking lot. So make sure you get up there and make this a really successful event. And as far as delivering the chamber directory, the chamber will deliver copies to individual businesses that request them. So Melissa, there you are. Melissa, if you just give Erica a call and let them know that, you know, you'd like a stack of however many that we could, yeah, have them delivered to City Hall, and maybe, or they could deliver a stack to various businesses as well, because I know how busy the staff at City Hall is, and we don't want to inundate them with a bunch of people demanding these beautiful business directories. So let's see, I got that. Thank you, staff. You know, you've just been so helpful this week as Debbie and I kind of bounce around learning new things. And if you want to join us on to become more re-familiar with the comprehensive plan, you're welcome to join us. Up to three. as we read through it, we're up to chapter 5, land use. So again, thank you for your time, and have a great week.
Thank you. do we have an attorney's report?
Yes, Mayor, just a short one this week. Andy Williamson and I met with our counterpart at the Mountain View Fire and Rescue District this last week to start hammering out our potential new fire services agreement. I don't have much to report on that other than to say that I think we made a really good start, made some good progress, and our next scheduled meeting is the early part of June. But I think both sides had a really good kind of opening session and found a lot of common ground, and just have some wrinkles that we still need to work through, but hopefully we'll continue to make progress at our next meeting in June. And let's see, I think the only other thing I wanted to kind of preview for you is it looks like we're getting pretty close to having a traffic impact fee ordinance ready to bring to you. So just keep that on your radar, and I'm hoping that we can get those last details of the fee study and the ordinance ironed out in the next few weeks. So that's on your radar.
Okay. So we have no executive session, so I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.